Play fake. Beathard sets up deep in the pocket. Goes down the field for Smith. Ah, he got it! Smith! Touchdown, 85 yards, Iowa!
56-yarder. It's got, no, does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it to the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45,
50, 45.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Don't miss a thing from the world of college football. Stay right here for College Gridiron on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into week 9 of College Gridiron. We have a very spooky episode here on Halloween. I'm joined down here in the WFUV studios by Isabella Terracini and Bradley Byrne, who it's his first episode of College Gridiron, debut episode. How are we feeling? Do we got any spooky costumes?
No spooky costumes, but I'm trying to get as much sleep as possible. I still got a midterm tomorrow, so I've been kind of stressed this entire week.
Well, hopefully no ghosts visit you in your sleep tonight on Halloween.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to Thursday Night Football tonight. I'm really excited. And maybe afterwards I might make a pit stop at Muggs, who's to say. But we have the whole weekend in front of us. Lots of football, lots of NFL, lots of everything. So let's just get right into it.
Oh, it is a week and a half here. We're going to start it off. We're going to kick it off with a little bit of reactions to last week, which was a very exciting week in the SEC. A little bit less exciting in the other leagues. Big Ten was a rough watch this weekend. We'll start with Ohio State, who almost completely sold the clip by barely sneaking by Nebraska, a team that hasn't looked good for the last couple of weeks, especially already with one loss. Ohio State's got Penn State this weekend. Rough weekend last week. What do we think about Ohio State, how they're looking, how they're playing right now? Kind of limping through these couple weeks.
I mean, yeah, they are definitely limping, but right now they're a pretty high seed. So, I mean, you can only go, like, so far from there. I want to talk about Nebraska, though. Nebraska, like, Dylan Raiola, we talk about him pretty much on every episode, so what's one more, right? Like, he's a pretty solid guy. They threw for 153 yards this game. I mean, it wasn't his best, wasn't his worst, but I will say he deserves more. I really like this guy. And OSU, I see big things for them in the future.
To be honest, like, OSU should have been really worried because one more loss can really impact them, because making the college football playoff with two losses isn't going to be easy. So
right.
I know we'll talk about it later, but OSU needs to win out if they really want to have a chance.
I think the biggest issue with OSU this year is just inconsistency, and that's kind of been the calling card of these Ryan Day teams, is just they're very inconsistent. They can't seem to win the big game when it matters. They've got Penn State this weekend. Ryan Day's never beaten a top five opponent. Ryan Day has played well, has had his teams ready to go when they go to Happy Valley. But just if they play like they played last weekend against a Nebraska team that also did not play very well, it's going to get ugly real quick. Two losses, though, won't make the Big Ten championship, and it's going to be outside looking in on the playoff there, because while I think they're one of the most talented teams in the country, it's hard to say they're one of the best teams in the country with how they've been playing.
No, absolutely, especially, like, you look at the rest of their schedule, and they got Penn State, and then they got Indiana later on, so those are two must-win games if they want to win, because OSU, you said earlier, they're inconsistent. They could play one game where they look like the number one team in the country, and then the following week they can play, like, absolute garbage, and we say, like, how are they even top five with the way they played?
Yeah, I also saw a fun stat where if Penn State and Indiana both win out, then Oregon can also win out and miss the Big Ten championship because of the way it is now. So Oregon could be the number one team in the country, undefeated, and still miss the Big Ten championship because of the way tiebreakers and seeding works in the Big Ten, which I thought was a really funny stat. It's really unlikely, but it's an interesting thing. So speaking of Oregon, we'll go quick on this one, but just blow Illinois completely out of the water. Didn't look close. Looked like they earned that number one spot. What are our thoughts on Oregon right now?
I kind of think that Dylan Gabriel, who obviously we'll talk about Heisman later, but he's been on an absolute tear. He just surpassed Timmy Chang on NCAA's career passing yards list, and he's now chasing Case Keenum's record, and he's also the top in the country with completion rate, 77%. So I think Oregon will finish as the number one team in the country and get that first bye, but I just don't see Oregon slowing down whatsoever.
No, they look like a real wagon right now.
I don't either. I don't see them doing anything but, like, dogging out these next few weeks, winning out. I mean, like you said, like, Dylan Gabriel, he's got the second highest yardage in NCAA FBS history. Like, that's a pretty big thing for him. And, I mean, the Oregon defense is, like, also something to not be reckoned with at all. These people, like, they didn't even allow a touchdown by Illinois. Like, they just don't mess with them.
Yeah, Illinois looked like a good team. Luke Altmyer was playing good. Well, yeah. Couple losses here and there, slip-ups. Kind of the epitome of a Big Ten team this year in that, you know, they're very talented, but those big dogs are going to kill them. Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State look like the cream of the crop in the Big Ten. But moving down south to the SEC, ranked number 25 Vanderbilt, almost pulls off the miraculous upset of Texas. They almost did it again after doing it to Bama a couple weeks ago. Wow. Texas sneaks by, looked real bad, did not look good. But they sneak by, keep their hopes alive, keep the SEC championship alive, make that game at the end of November in College Station mean all that much more with a berth in the SEC championship on the line. How are we seeing Texas right now after sneaking by, looking real bad against Vanderbilt, but, you know, that's kind of what they've been all year. The quarterbacks looked rough this week, and it's after that Georgia game, too.
I think they're just...
They need to get right game here soon.
They're just digging for scraps at this point. They've kind of run out, but I see them, you know, with this bye this week, I think it's going to help them. I think they're going to kind of reset, rejuvenate here, but it was a one field goal game. Like, that is crazy. And for Vanderbilt to not be on the AP this week, that really made me upset. Like, this is personal now. Like, that was crazy to me.
And Vanderbilt played well, too. They allowed zero sacks as well and had three interceptions. So, like...
And they're not on AP.
Exactly. And they almost took down another top five team in the country.
Yeah, I think Vanderbilt is a very good team. I think it's hard to keep them ranked, though, after they were the number 25 team. You could argue they should have been higher, so it shouldn't have mattered, but they lost, played a close game. It's hard to not drop out of the AP poll at 25 after you lose. They'll be back soon. It's whatever, not that big of a deal. I definitely expect to see them back within, if not this week, but next week. They'll be back soon. Not a big deal. But let's move into this week's. We'll talk a little bit of week 9 preview. We'll leave the big game for a little bit later. So we'll start it off with Texas A&M versus South Carolina. A&M coming off a big, big win against LSU. Absolutely massive in a rivalry game. In a blackout at night. Kyle Field was absolutely rocking. Came back in the second half, made some adjustments. We'll see who the starting quarterback is for this game. But what do we got for A&M versus South Carolina?
This is an upset. This absolutely is going to South Carolina. Like, South Carolina has been giving SEC schools, like, problems this year. Like, these guys are no joke. But they also gave LSU a run for their money in week 2, but they only lost to Alabama by 2. And OU, like, who gives a shit? Sorry. But, it's coming off a bye, so South Carolina is going to be a tough place to play. And they're ranked number 22nd in the country in opponent points per game.
And you look at SC, I think they're one of these, like, trap teams that, like, they can play some random week against a ranked team.
Yeah.
And they can pull off the upset, especially since nobody talks about how they're third in the country in sacks. They're third, which is crazy. And imagine if they beat LSU and Alabama. We'd be having much different conversations about South Carolina even possibly being ranked.
Yeah, they're definitely looking to kill some people's seasons. They have arguably the best defensive line in the country. If not, they have at least the best pass rush in the country with those edge rushers that they have. The secondary is a little bit suspect, which is why I do still expect to see Connor Wigman start for A&M this week. Mike Elko has come out and say it. They're kind of just going to run a two-quarterback system, and they're going to see what works. Probably should have done that against Notre Dame. But look, I expect Wigman to come out as a starter. They're going to throw it early. A&M's a great rushing team. They're going to throw it early, try and open up those gaps, I think. If they can't throw, if the offensive line doesn't work, look great, Marcel Reed will come in and it'll look just like it did against LSU. But I do expect to see at least for the next couple weeks, A&M to run somewhat of a two-quarterback system. I think SC's offense is just not going to have an answer for this A&M defense. So it's if SC wants to win, they're going to have to keep it low scoring, going to have to keep it close. But I think it's very possible to do with how they get after the quarterback, how they just get after the ball, chase the ball, just an absolute dog mentality on that defensive line. And
on both.
Yeah.
Because this is a defensive slugfest.
Like, it will be, yeah.
This is going to be a huge game for both defenses.
And mm-hmm. plus you talk about Connor Wegman and Marcel Reed. Marcel Reed was the reason why that they came back against LSU. Honestly, they should start Marcel Reed for this foreseeable future, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, he had 3 rushing touchdowns. Like, he did exactly what he was supposed to do, and Connor Wegman struggled 6 of 18. Honestly, in my opinion, I think Marshall Reed should start next week. Let him get the nod, and if things aren't going well, you can always put Wegman in there.
What does the honorary Aggie have to say about that?
Well, so Marshall Reed, we saw it early in the season. He plays really well 1 week, but then he's not that developed of a passer yet. He's not great throwing the ball. Obviously, you saw with that 52-yard bomb, he has the talent. He's a little bit quick on the reads. He's a little bit slow on the trigger to get rid of it. He moves off of his reads a little bit too fast, but then can't get rid of the ball quick enough. So the development as a passer is what's going to take his game over the top. Obviously, he runs the ball very well. He makes great decisions in the RPO and in the read option game. It's just Connor Wegman in this game was very similar to the Notre Dame game, although he played a lot better than he did against Notre Dame. But the offensive line just wasn't giving him a lot of time. He was constantly under pressure, and when he wasn't pressured, he looked like he was panicking. He just needs to take a breath, right? But he was under pressure so much, the receivers were not getting separation. The receivers had a couple of drops early. So obviously the completion percentage didn't look great, but he was let down a little bit by the receivers. He didn't look great, but just the team surrounding him needs to, as well as the play calling, which is drastically different when Wegman and Marcel Reed are in the game. And I think Klein is a lot more comfortable with a quarterback like Marcel Reed, which you saw when he was at Kansas State. He likes that mobile quarterback. But Wegman runs the read option quite well, and so he's also a significantly better thrower. And you can make the argument that Wegman is a top 3 passer in the SEC, only behind Nussmeier and Quinn Ewers. He has the arm talent, and he has the mentality to be a top quarterback in the SEC. He just needs to calm down because he's very jumpy in the pocket. And I think part of that is because he just doesn't have he's a redshirt sophomore at this point, but he's only started like 14 games in his career, right? And he needs to get those reps under his belt. He needs his offensive coordinator to trust him, which I feel like the playbook, Colin Klein's playbook with Connor Wegman in the game, he limits it a lot, and he doesn't need to, which is, it's an interesting thing. Like, you don't see as much creativity when Wegman's in the game, when it's like, it's an incompletion on first down. Let's take a check down. It doesn't work. And so it's 3rd and 10 and let's run it. 3rd and 10. Let's run it. Or let's run it on 2nd and long. Let's run it on 1st and long. And now we got to throw it and it's 3rd and 6. Right. There's not as much creativity with Wegman in the game. And I don't quite understand it, because you have such great arm talent. I think you need to just let it fly. And so that's why, personally, against a team with a good pass rush but a lackluster secondary, is why I would start Wegman. And then if, you know, maybe you don't wait till the second half is time, but if he comes out in the first quarter and looks flat, sure, you put in Marcel Reed. But if he comes out in that first quarter like he did against Missouri, which is a very similar team in that they had a great defensive line but the secondary wasn't as good, it's a team where you could see Wegman really settling in. And I will say, though, that if A&M wants to go far, they're going to have to figure out the quarterback situation, and they're going to need a defined number one. So I think rocking with the two-quarterback system for the next couple weeks, sure, whatever. But, you know, by that UT game, I think you're going to need to know who your quarterback is.
No, that's fair. But I do have a question. If Connor Wegman struggles tomorrow against SC, then Marcel Reed gets put into the game and he ends up helping the Aggies win, does that change your opinion on who should start, or are you going to stick with Wegman starting until the season ends?
I think I'll go with Mike Elko's answer in that it doesn't really matter who starts. It's who's going to win us the game. And they obviously, I think it'll change a little bit in that teams are going to have to start preparing for both quarterbacks. But that also means you do less preparation for each quarterback. But it really just matters which quarterback gives you the best chance to win each week, right? Week to week is how Mike Elko's playing this. And so if Marcel Reed gives the best opportunity to win against Texas, he's going to start against Texas. If Wigman gives the best opportunity to win against Auburn, he's going to start against Auburn. If the true freshman that they have is going to give them the best chance to start against, to win against New Mexico State, that's who's going to start. And I feel like Mike Elko is doing a good job in handling this and saying we don't have, like, it doesn't matter who our starting quarterback is. We're trying to win games, and it feels like everyone's bought into that, and which is why I think A&M's really been a surprise this year. But I don't want to discount the fact that South Carolina very much is on upset alert this week, and I think coming off that big win, you could see South Carolina play a bit of a spoiler and just dash all those Aggie hopes in this manufactured rivalry that the SEC has tried to create.
That's fair.
But we're gonna move out of the SEC here. We're gonna move into an interesting ACC matchup in Pittsburgh versus SMU this week. SMU new to the ACC, having a good first year in the ACC. Kind of a different look than we expected. Obviously, with Preston Stone not being the starting quarterback, Preston Stone was not very good to start the year. He got benched. Looked like a whole new team ever since then. The ACC also feels, while it feels like Miami and Clemson are the two juggernauts up top, it also feels like both teams are very, very fallible in that Miami's played a lot of close games, won a lot of close games at the buzzer, haven't looked overly dominant. Clemson obviously had that blowout loss to Georgia in which they played very close to the half and then just got run out of the gym. And so it seems like while there feels like there's two juggernauts at the top of the ACC, very much we could see a sneaky team coming at the end. And it feels like Pitt or SMU would be the team to do it if anyone did it. We'll get a good good glimpse of that here this week. But what do we see in SMU and Pitt?
To be honest, I think SMU could pull off the upset because I feel like SMU is one of those like sneaky teams. Like we talked about South Carolina, SMU's only loss is to ninth-ranked Baylor, and it was only by a field goal. Imagine if SMU had won that game; they'd probably be in Baylor's spot. So I think Pitt's on upset alert for this week.
I agree because I think SMU is 70% going to win this game, according to ESPN. And
those
just,
ESPN statistics are so stupid.
Right, but they're fun.
Where do they get
they're
these
fun
numbers
to look
from?
At.
It's like someone will be 85% to win the game, and then they lose by 30.
Yeah.
Where did your numbers
take
come
Thursday
from?
Night football tonight, for example. But
yeah,
this is not an NFL show.
Thank God.
I do want to talk about the fact that the last time that these two teams faced off was in 2012. And it was an SMU won. And the last time that these two teams played in Dallas was in 1938, and Pitt won. So, who knows?
You know, those happened in 1938. I don't know. Give me a second. Let me figure out something that happened in 1938.
It was the year before World War II.
The Great Hurricane of 1938.
Wow.
The Fair Labor Standard Act.
There's probably a couple.
Ooh,
couple
Germany
acts.
Annexed Austria. There we go. That's a fun one that happened in 1938. Long
so
time ago.
Who,
just
who's
The National Dollar Store strike. What? Just I'm just giving you context for how long ago 1938 was. Just
right.
Just for context.
Can you do
okay.
the math off your off the top of your head? No.
86.
Okay.
86. 96.
Okay.
86.
Okay. 86. Proud. Proud. Okay. Anyways, so SMU's on a five game win streak since their loss to BYU of 18-15, but also they're really impressive with their strength of their schedule. But talking about Pitt, they intercepted a former OSU QB, Kyle McCord, who's now at Syracuse, four times in the first half of their game last week. So I think
three pick sixes.
I think that they're kind of on a high right now.
And I put Pitt on a fraud watch. They only beat Cincinnati by 1 point. West Virginia by 4 points and Cal by 2. Come on. That just screams fraud watch to me.
Interesting.
I don't know. Cal is a, you know, sneaky communist Cal over there. They've had some close games. They've been good. A lot more hype earlier in the season for sure. West Virginia has been kind of on a heater recently. They've been playing well. I think they've won two straight. I won't discount their wins against them, obviously, but Pitt hasn't looked like a top 25 team for a lot of the year, I would say.
No, I 100% agree with that. They have not looked like a ranked team. Like, if you're a ranked team, like, you're supposed to be blowing out teams that really aren't ranked. That's kind of why you're on the poll, is because you're considered one of the top 25 teams, but if you're not getting these big wins like you're supposed to. Like, you're only beating these teams by single digits. I mean, I put Pitt on fraud watch, to be honest. But that's just my hot take, maybe.
I think Pitt really started to show who they were in Syracuse with a 41-13 win. Like, that was kind of where they were like, okay, maybe we have something to show here. But I still think that, like, you know, maybe they're not. Maybe their schedule, like, isn't testing them like other school schedules are. It's really, like, all about the schedule and, like, who you're playing week to week.
And they play Clemson on the 16th, then we'll
right.
really see
we'll
if,
really know.
If they're legit. And they play Louisville
they're gonna get boat raced by Clemson. They might exactly. lose by 30. It's not gonna be close.
And then who does that spot on the AP poll open up for?
Probably Vandy.
That's what I'm saying.
Vandy should
or Navy will come back. I don't know. Navy getting run out of the gym by Notre Dame hurts.
But who didn't see that coming?
Probably everyone saw that coming. But it still hurts, man. If Navy
can pull the upset against Army.
Yeah,
then...
but then neither of them make it.
Yeah.
And then Boise State gets in. I need Boise State to lose so that they don't get in, and Army or Navy gets in, which would be my ideal situation. Because support the troops, we love America over here. That would be ideal. But I don't think it's gonna happen. I think Boise State's gonna be that group of five representative in the playoffs. But enough of what nobody actually cares about because we're so far away from the playoff right now. Let's get into the big game of the weekend. Potential game of the year candidate. It's going to be hard to upset A&M versus LSU last weekend. But we have Penn State versus Ohio State. Ohio State is coming into Happy Valley. Both teams are top five teams. As I mentioned earlier, Ryan Day has not beaten a top five team. I think he's 0-4 or 0-5 in his last
five,
one.
Yeah.
James Franklin cannot beat Ohio State. Home game, though, Penn State's ranked higher. Ohio State's not looked great. I think we're in for some fireworks. Before we talk about the game itself, I want to just talk about the fact that this game is at noon. Because that is absurd.
That should be a crime against you. That's absolutely
I'm still
crime.
In practice. I'm still at basketball during that time.
Fox
just, like,
Sports has ruined the Big Ten. There's
this should be a 7:30 at night game.
The Big Noon kickoff
should be an exciting game.
The Big Noon kickoff is the dumbest thing in sports. There's absolutely no reason at all that the biggest game of the weekend, potential game of the year, two top five teams should be facing off at noon. Fox has ruined the Big Ten. There's absolutely no reason that the biggest Big Ten game of the year is being played at noon, especially when it's a home game for Penn State. This should be their wideout game. There's literally no reason that this is a noon game. I don't care if Fox's game day is going to be there. I don't even know what it's called.
College game day. They're going to be there. That's why they made it 12 o'clock probably.
No, it's because it's Big Noon kickoff, which is Fox's thing, which is so stupid. I hate it. Big Noon kickoff, it
but
ruins
Ben's
all
be there.
The good
Ben
Big Ten games.
Ben Herbstreit's going to be there, the little dog. Who's excited?
Big fan of Ben Herbstreit. He's cool.
We do love. Station who loves Ben.
Let's talk a little bit more technical. Penn State versus Ohio State. What do we got this weekend?
I obviously, as a biased Penn State fan, I really want to put my bias side, but I think
we
this
do
is
no
the,
bias. There's no bias on this podcast. Please keep this a
hey,
bias.
He's new.
Podcast.
He's new. Be nice.
I think this is Penn State's year. Like, they got obviously. Arguably I just lost my train of thought. They have the best duo of running backs, arguably, in the country. If they can manage to dominate the time of possession and let Nick Singleton and Katron Allen do all the heavy lifting, I could see Penn State winning this game. But if they let Ohio State get hot and they start throwing the deep ball, because Penn State's secondary is a little, you know, questionable with some injuries, but if Penn State can dominate time of possession and just go heavy on the run game, I don't really see how Penn State loses this game. I know everyone, Ohio State's only like 6-point favorites. I haven't checked the spread in a few days, but last time
three.
I checked, three? Okay, well, that's a good thing for Penn State if it went down, but obviously, like, I want to say, like, Penn State, like, with full confidence, but, like, I can't disregard how good Ohio State has been.
I don't think you can disregard.
Have
I
we
think
confirmed
this is a really
if
easy...
Drew Aller's playing or not this weekend?
So James Franklin said that is a game day decision. So right leading up to noon kickoff, they'll make a decision. But I'm not worried whether Drew Aller or Prabula plays, because when Prabula was playing against Wisconsin, he did good. He did his job.
Ohio State's not Wisconsin, though.
No, I know, but like if you're still focusing
Wisconsin.
But if Penn State is going to dominate with the run game, Prabula is not going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting. He can rely on Nick Singleton and Katron Allen. which is how I think Penn State could win this game.
Frequent listeners of this podcast will know my hatred for Drew Aller, so I'm not going to say they have a better chance of winning if Drew Aller doesn't play, but I'm going to heavily imply it. So that's take that with what you will, because Drew Aller's not a good quarterback. Thank you.
No,
continue.
I completely agree. Like, Drew Aller
yes!
is not...
We got another one. He's horrible.
Like, last year, it infuriated me how Drew Aller was absolute garbage at the deep ball. Like, it, every single game, I'm like, passes deep.
He can't throw the deep ball. It's
exactly.
It's ugly.
That's the one, no, like, really if Drew Aller can work on his deep ball, he can actually be a viable quarterback. But last year, against Michigan, Ohio State, he barely threw the deep ball, and that infuriated me.
I mean, people act like he's a top quarterback in the country. He literally he has 12 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Like, that's a middle-of-the-road average quarterback.
Yeah, that's pretty average for any...
It's an average quarterback.
And you're playing for Penn State, too. Like.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for the third seed. For, like, the third top team in the country.
Yeah.
I don't know how this team is still undefeated.
Okay.
I don't either.
No. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to mine. Yeah, I think if I'm going to... I'll be honest.
Bias-free answer.
No, we don't do bias. This is my bias-free answer. Has Penn State had a little bit easy schedule? Yes. I will not, you know, say that Penn State has had a very difficult schedule. I think they've played one ranked opponent, and it was 24th Illinois all year. So I'll be honest, Penn State has had a little bit of an easy road here, but if they could beat Ohio State, I think that'll be a huge statement win for them.
Yeah, I think it'll pretty much secure their spot.
I would agree. I think this is going to be one of the more exciting games for those fans of, you know, old school running the ball, because you have four, you know, probably top 25 running backs in the country in this game, and it's going to be an exciting battle of wills on those in the trenches between the offensive and defensive line. And I think this game is going to be decided around whether or not Ohio State's defensive line can step up. Because I think they've had some questionable moments at times. Penn State's defense has been real good this year. Penn State's offensive line has obviously been a big contributor to why the offense has been good. I think Ohio State's defensive line is, and their offensive line to a lesser extent, but their defensive line is going to be the big question on whether or not Ohio State's going to hang in this game.
I think the big question is Ohio State's wide receiver is going to be more explosive than Penn State's running backs. I think that's what it's going to come down to, because Ohio State has been really good with the deep ball. Penn State has been really good with the running game. So I think whichever one of those aspects performs better is going to win the game. I don't really think it's about defense. It's just which offense is going to
outplay
exactly.
Yeah. And also, Ohio State leads this rivalry history 24-14 games. And Ohio State has won the last 6. So, I mean, who's to say?
Yeah, they're going to have to show out at Beaver Stadium this week, because it's been rough at Penn State the last couple. I mean, Ohio State's going on the road and they're still favored by 3 points.
I think that this is the most important game for Ryan Day and James Franklin, because this would be James Franklin's biggest win with his tenure at Penn State, because he's 1-13 against top 5 opponents, and Ohio State's season could be on the line if they lose here. Because
Ryan Day might not have a job if they lose this game.
Exactly, because
they might fire him after the game.
Because
I'm deadly serious.
No,
in the locker room.
No, because
maybe not like in the locker room, but like he won't be coaching next week.
But like if they, because getting 2 losses and trying to make the CFP with how competitive it is this year is going to be really difficult. Because if, let's just say, Penn State and Oregon...
2 losses, and they won't make the Big Ten championship.
Exactly. And so, obviously, I think the top 2 for the Big Ten...
With Indiana next week, or in 2 weeks.
Oh, they got... Okay, well then, Ohio State, regardless, might have 2. I don't think they beat... I think Indiana will pull that off against Ohio State, but Ohio State needs to win out. Like, they have no room for error. Like, Penn State, and even Oregon, they can lose a game, and... I mean, Oregon and Penn State obviously won't lose another game after this week, but they're still fine, because they only have 1 loss and they can still make it. But if Ohio State loses, their season might be over.
Yeah, Ohio State still has a real hard schedule. I mean, they have Penn State, Purdue, and Northwestern. Those are 2 easy wins. But then they have Indiana and also, you know, rivalry game against Michigan. So, I mean, that's 3 games right in there. Yeah, if you lose one of them, you're out of the Big Ten championship. If you, you know, win another one close, You might be out on the outside looking into that playoff. And so this game really means everything, I think, not only for Ohio State season, but also Ryan Day's tenure as the Ohio State coach. I think you could argue a little less so with James Franklin, but I mean, if you lose this game with all the talent you have on that team, you lose this game, especially if Drew Aller starts and you have your starting quarterback, I mean, it gets hard to defend him, doesn't it? To say, like, this is our guy and we're in an expanded playoff and we still can't beat Ohio State. We still can't – Ohio State in a quote-unquote down year, we can't beat – which I don't think it's a down year for Ohio State, but obviously, like, if they go on to lose another one, miss the Big Ten championship, then it's obviously a down year for Ohio State. But and we could also, you know, turn this around next week and say Ohio State's the best team in the country if they win this game. Either team, I think there's an argument, not really, because Oregon's still going to be number one, but you could say that if Penn State wins, that they should be number two at least. And so
I'm actually going to – if Penn State wins by more than three, because Oregon won 34-31.
More than
31,
Oregon wins by?
If Penn State wins by more than three, let's just say they win by a touchdown, they should be over Oregon just because they beat this Ohio State team by more. I'm not liking this Penn State hate by the College Football Committee. It just annoys me every week. Like, how is Georgia – so when Penn State had their bye week, when they were idle, they moved down. But when Georgia has a bye week, they stayed the same. It just – it's just something that just ticks me off sometimes.
SEC, baby. SEC. Yep. SEC. I don't know.
It just means more, doesn't it?
It does. It does just mean
throwback.
More.
Which is why Alabama made the college football playoff last year over Florida State,
exactly,
which I'll still disagree with forever. But
Florida State, who
poor
gives
things.
A sh-? I'm not going to say it.
You know,
we already said it once on this podcast, but who gives a sh-?
Can I just say one? Bless their heart.
Bless their heart.
You got to feel bad for them. Like, they deserve
you
it.
Do?
Mike Norvell is a bum. That guy should not have a job. That guy, the amount of complaining they did last year to then come out this year and look as bad as they have, I don't ever want to hear any sympathy. They didn't belong in the college football playoff. They got boat raced by Georgia. Georgia should have been in over Alabama, first of all. Georgia was the best team in the country last year. I think they won the national championship if they go to the playoff. We're not here to have a talk about last year. We're here to talk about this year. Penn State, I think, is my pick, at least this weekend.
You guys already know my
give
pick.
It to us. Who do you got? Penn State or Ohio State?
You gonna be odd duckling out or?
Yeah, I want to be odd duckling out right now. I'm gonna pick Ohio State just because.
Don't hate it.
No, don't hate it. I just think it's too close to count. But you know what? It could be a boat race, or it could be like really close. I don't know.
It could be. Or it could not be. Who knows?
Who knows?
That's the glory of great close games in college football.
And upsets and just college football in general. It's week to week. You never know.
Well, I'm just going to run through some other interesting games this week. Stop me if you have anything to say on these. But we got Duke at number 5 Miami. Duke's 6-2 this year. Miami, obviously, 20-point favorites at home. But Malik Murphy, good quarterback. You could see some upsets in Miami because they've looked a little shaky at times.
Miami should have a loss, but that's
they
a
should.
Different
They should definitely have a loss. Number 19, Ole Miss is traveling to Arkansas. Arkansas is a decent team. Ole Miss is 8-point favorites, but Arkansas is known to play spoilers in the SEC. Minnesota at Illinois. Illinois, I think, drops out of the top 25 this week. I know Luke Altmaier's had a good season, but after last week, I think they're just going to be killed. If you're a fan of horrible, ugly, stupid-looking games, Northwestern at Purdue, if you're looking for like a 2-3 score,
go ahead and check it out.
Virginia Tech at Syracuse. Syracuse started out hot. Kyle McCord obviously comes in. A lot of hype around that team. They've struggled. Virginia Tech's actually looked quite decent this year. They've had an up-and-down year, but Kyron Jones is a good quarterback. Very talented team. Might want to check that one out if you're a fan of some ACC football. Vanderbilt goes to Auburn. Vanderbilt is 1-touchdown underdogs. Win this week could see them back into the top 25. Could make Auburn's season. Could see Hugh Freeze out the door because they've looked real bad. If you're a fan of FCS teams playing SEC teams in November, Maine at Oklahoma. I don't know what's going on here. Welcome to the SEC, Oklahoma. Oregon at Michigan. Number 1, Oregon going to the reigning champs, Michigan. 2-touchdown favorites, but, you know, Michigan could play spoilers. They've had some decent-looking games this year. They've had some really bad-looking games this year. Still don't really have a quarterback. Who knows? Could be an interesting one. Again, could be a blowout. We've got Indiana at Michigan State on the road. Indiana only 8-point favorites at Michigan State. They should take that offensive. That they should be offended by that. I think they're going to go in and win by 20-plus. We've got Kansas State at Houston. Houston has looked horrible.
Bless their heart.
Yeah, Houston does not look good.
Football's just not their sport.
No, not
at We've got U of A at UCF. U of A has been one of the more disappointing teams in college football this year. UCF has been a decent team. Who knows? U of A is going to need this one to get back on track because they've been a big disappointment, especially because they were my preseason favorite to win the Big 12. We've got, what else do we have in here that we haven't talked about? We got Louisville at Clemson. Clemson's got a big chance this week to cement themselves as the best team in the ACC, which I think they are. I think they should be ranked over Miami. They've just looked more impressive ever since that first week win. Cade Klubnik has really turned it around. He had some people saying he was the biggest bust five-star in the history of college football. He's turned around, and he's having a great season.
Also, Clemson hasn't played like a real team since his last four games when they gave up 37 points to Virginia at home.
That is true as well. So that could be an interesting to watch out for for all of those ACC fans as well. You've got Kentucky at Tennessee, which top SEC teams have really struggled against Kentucky this year. But since that Alabama game, Kentucky has looked like debatably the worst team in college football. So who knows? Are we going to see Tennessee turn around? Are we going to see Kentucky turn around? Let's hope one of them turns around, because otherwise that's going to be a real boring game. But that about wraps it up for what our interesting games are of this week. Now the fun parts. Now a little bit more opinion, huh? Let's go into our top five Heisman.
Without bias.
Unbiased top five Heisman candidates. Absolutely no bias in this top five Heisman candidates. So if Drew Aller's in there, we know there's a lot of bias.
No. Drew Aller's not in there, but there's a Oregon player in there. I won't spoil it.
All righty. So we'll go. Do we want to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? We want to go 1s, 2s, 3s?
We'll do 1s, 2s, 3s. I think that's
All righty. So we'll start with you, Isabella. Go ahead. Okay. Give us your number one for the Heisman.
Cam Ward. Easy.
I'm going Ashton Jeanty.
I still also have Ashton Jeanty. And I really hope he comes out this week and just dominates, because that'd be so awesome. I want to see him get back. But, so that's two Ashton Jeanty. One Cam Ward to win it. Who do you got second?
Ashton Jeanty.
You got Ashton Jeanty.
I got Travis Hunter. When I was like typing up my notes last night, I was like, do I put Jeanty one or Travis one? But I just think Jeanty has impressed me slightly more than Hunter.
Fair. I have Cam Ward as my number two. I'm assuming, but let's hear it from your mouth. Who do you got three?
Who do you think it is?
I think you have Travis Hunter three.
I don't.
Whoa.
Dylan
Gabriel three, alrighty.
I have Cam Ward at three.
Cam Ward three, and I have Travis Hunter at three. Four.
I have Drew Aller.
Drew, oh, gross.
You're lying. Are you lying? Are you serious?
Where is Travis Hunter?
Five.
Oh.
No, okay. Disgusting. No way.
Disgusting. Even
as a diehard Penn State fan my whole life, that's just absolutely blasphemous. Like, that's coming from a Penn State fan. Like,
that's gross.
There is no galaxy where Drew Aller is a better player than Travis Hunter.
Disgusting.
Like, that's actually crazy.
Would both of you rather me say it's Jackson Dart?
Okay, you were just lying?
No. Well,
I think Jackson Dart's a fraud, too.
I think he is, too. So
I just think the entire quarterback class this year has just been
Drew Aller's on a better team, so I'll
put Drew Aller at six.
I'll allow it. He can be six. Sure, go ahead. Four. We're on four.
Four, I was debating between Gabriel and Klubnik, but I put Gabriel four.
I also have Gabriel four, which tells me you have
Klubnik
five. Klubnik is my five.
And Hunter.
You have Travis Hunter.
Drew Aller is my honorable mention.
Drew Aller is about 15 places away from even being in the top 25.
But you know what? Check on us in like 2-3 weeks. Then things might change.
Check on us in 2-3 weeks, and Drew Aller might not be playing college football anymore.
Right.
That guy's horrible. He stinks.
I think Fox Sports has him like the 7th highest odds to
he
win the Heisman.
He stinks.
But you know what? You have to just throw it in there just for like the conversation. Just for the conversation.
He's so bad.
And the giggles.
Okay, he's not bad. He's just mid. There's a difference between mid and bad.
Yeah, he's just mid. And you know what? Nothing's wrong with just a mid guy.
And plus, he has Tommy O'Brien as his QB coach. So, I mean, that's kind of also why people say that he's good. But I just think he's a little mid. Not to use the, as the kids say, mid. But
he's no Trace McSorley. We'll put it that way. He's... Yeah, whatever. I'm done with Drew Aller. I talk about Drew Aller way too much.
I listened to your rant on the first episode. I heard your rant, and some of it I agree with, others.
Well, you probably heard me rant about like 15 different quarterbacks in that first episode, because I was going.
But Drew Aller was like the longest.
Yeah,
like.
But I've been a Drew Aller hater since high school. I hate that he's so bad. He's not good. But whatever.
It's not that he's not good. He just needs to work on the deep ball. That's what infuriates me about Drew Aller. He could be a top five quarterback.
He was ranked over Cade Klubnik.
Okay. That's a little bit upset.
Yeah, well, what?
But imagine if Drew Aller had a deep ball. He could realistically.
But he doesn't. He doesn't have a deep ball.
But
that's the
then
issue.
Then again, being a top five quarterback in this class really isn't, I guess, saying a lot, because it's so underwhelming. But
yeah, and so my sixth would probably be Quinn Ewers, just because early in the season before the injury, he looked so good. He's looked not great since coming back. Obviously got benched against Georgia, which was one of the wildest decisions.
I just don't
I've
get why
seen.
They keep putting Arch Manning in. Let him sit.
If Quinn Ewers is your starting quarterback,
because there's
stop.
So much money on Arch Manning's name. That he will, that coaches will do anything for just like 1 minute of
but
play time.
But all it's
time.
Doing
but
it's like, is
but then you're
the
taking away
room.
From Quinn Ewers'
because,
draft
right,
stock. Like
right.
He's going to obviously declare for the draft, be a first round pick probably, and you're just
and he might
also,
go to the Giants.
He's also
like
the
you
better,
never know.
He's also indisputably the better quarterback right now. He is the better quarterback than Arch Manning right now.
Quarterback.
And so and to keep benching Quinn Ewers to put in Arch Manning, it
and he's a cover of College Football 25.
Steve Sarkisian's an idiot. He's. If you look at the statistics, he's had no better of a career than Jimbo Fisher did at A&M, and Jimbo Fisher's getting paid $70 million to sit on a beach somewhere.
Steve
Sarkisian is still the head coach, and he's hyped up as the number one coach of the number one team in the country. And what has he done? Nothing. All he does is keep flip flopping between quarterbacks. People talk about Jimbo's recruiting classes. This guy's got two number one quarterbacks, and he can't win anything. Okay, I don't want to hear about Arch Manning. I don't want to hear about Quinn Ewers. Steve Sarkisian is horrible, god awful. Not a good coach. He's literally Jimbo in burnt orange. I don't know how we got on this topic. We were talking about Heisman. Somehow I mentioned
feel
Quinn
bad
Ewers.
For Quinn Ewers because his draft stock tanks every time he gets benched for Arch Manning.
Yeah.
Because like, you're taking away from him possibly.
Not even that.
Well.
You're tanking his confidence. You're tanking the locker room's confidence in not only him but also in the coaching staff because they all know that Quinn Ewers is the quarterback. So every time you bench him, it's like what's going on, right? You're supposed to be a contender and you can't figure out. Like you just make the best decision for your team, right? You it's kind of the exact opposite of the Wigman and Marcel Reed thing in that your current quarterback is helping you win. Like your starter, your undisputed starter, he's not struggling. So it's actually an active detriment to your team every time you bench him. Whereas like with Marcel Reed and Wigman, like it seems like they push the right button every time they make the switch. The Arch Manning to Quinn Ewers. It's not doing anything, and it seems like the fight goes out of the team every time they bench one of them.
It's kind of like Arch Manning, like you say the big name. It's kind of like with Bronny, like if that's not LeBron James' son, is he really on the Lakers? Like it's kind of the same with like Arch Manning, like he has this huge name attached to him. Like if he was just some random QB, would he really be replacing Quinn Ewers, who has looked like a top five quarterback in this class? Like that's
Remember when he replaced Quinn Ewers earlier this season and just absolutely dogged out. Like that, those were the good days.
Yeah,
now,
but they weren't playing anymore.
But that was like,
yeah,
that was like against Mississippi State.
But, I mean,
I feel like whenever there's like draft scouts, whenever there's draft scouts at a Texas game, they always put Arch Manning in. Like, think about it. Obviously, there's going to be scouts at Texas, Georgia, so that's why they put Arch Manning in, and he looked awful.
Yeah, it was a rough game. But, you know, we talked a little bit about last week, we talked a little bit about this week. We had an interesting, odd conversation about our Heisman rankings. I don't really know how we delved into Arch Manning versus Quinn Ewers in that Heisman
you
talk.
You put Ewers on
hush,
at your six.
He was my
as
he was
an
my
A&M honor. Fan.
Hey, honorable man, what am I going to put Marcel Reed in there? Actually,
Loki
should have. Marcel Reed. That no. Le'Veon Moss is my sixth for the Heisman. Whatever.
Over Drew Aller?
Yeah.
Over Ewers?
I'm kidding.
Yes.
I'm kidding.
Over Manning?
I put Drew Aller.
There's about 14,000 quarterbacks in this country. I would put over. I would put the quarterback of the Texas 6A state champions over Arch Manning right now. That guy, unbelievable.
Is Drew Aller better than Arch Manning?
Arch Manning can
why
throw
do you
a deep
think
ball.
About that? You should have to think
yeah.
about that.
Arch Manning
can
throw, a,
throw
deep
a
deep
ball.
That's kind of concerning if you had to think about if Drew Aller is better than Arch Manning.
Exactly. That you should be concerned as a Penn State fan. That's a conversation.
I never said I was a fan of Drew Aller. I mean, four is. I don't even think I'd put Drew Aller at four.
Because
as
it's
a
funny.
Lab.
Four is crazy.
Because it's
well,
funny.
You could put him. This is a podcast with serious journalistic integrity. Okay, we're not about jokes on this podcast. We're about serious college football journalism.
Four is insane. You could put him five.
You can't put him five either.
No, because like. If you put him at four and you had some random at five, I'd be like, okay, it's a little outrageous, but Travis Hunter at five, he should be top two.
I kind of like Travis Hunter at five. It's
different. No,
go get
Screen. No.
Get Screen.
See?
But also, Colorado's playing
Travis
very
Hunter
well
should
recently.
Be no lower than three. Three is the absolute bottom. Like
he's my three.
Well,
I think.
I said three is like the lowest he should be. He should not be lower than three, but five is.
a little suspect.
Anyways, let's get into everybody's favorite segment of every single episode, our Superdog picks, underdogs that we give you, betting odds, whatnot, picks that we think you got to make for the weekend, at least a score, you know. Just giving out some free advice for what we think. So we'll start with, let's hear Bradley's. Bradley, give us your Superdog for the week.
We kind of spoiled it early in the episode, but I'm picking South Carolina over Texas A&M as my Superdog for this week. I think SC is going to...
Gross.
I mean, I know you don't like that pick,
I have no bias. No bias.
There's no bias. Like, think about it. South Carolina almost beat LSU, almost beat Alabama. Well, Alabama's season is already over, obviously.
Alabama clearly wasn't that good.
I am so glad that Alabama's season is finally over. Like, it's kind of like the Patriots. Like, you have this absolute dynasty for two decades, and then you're just trash. Like, I am actually really glad. Like, as an Alabama hater myself, I'm so glad that they finally may not make the college football playoff. But, yes, back on track. South Carolina is my Superdog pick for this week. I'm sorry if, I know you said you had South Carolina winning too, so I'm sorry if I stole your pick, but that's my Superdog.
You didn't. Don't be sorry. Do you want to hear mine?
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Mine is Pitt over SMU.
I like that.
7.5 favorites. And I don't know.
Think about the fact that you put the ranked team to lose. Is kind of like
SMU's ranked.
It just shows
they're both ranked.
Yeah, both teams.
Oh, SMU. Oh, sorry, yeah. My fault. SMU is ranked. I apologize, but the fact that I think Pitt is ranked
higher. Snow ponies.
Pitt's higher, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Pitt is technically higher by 2.
So the fact that the higher. So the fact that the higher ranked team is
undefeated,
which Pitt is only undefeated because of their record.
Yeah, I don't know. I just have a little vendetta against Dallas, and I just want to.
Who doesn't?
Right?
What a horrible city.
Horrible.
Gross. Disgusting. I don't like you if you're from there. I'm going to say it. I have an issue with people from Dallas. Okay? Shoot me.
I mean, I like Luka. That's the only thing that they have going for them.
And he's not even from Dallas. They've ruined him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gross. No. My pick is the University of Arizona over UCF +6. I think this is the week U of A turns it around. I was obviously so high on them to start the year, and I am just not anymore because they have looked rough. But hey, you got to stick with your dogs when you get them, right? You know you can't. Once you adopt a dog, it's yours for life. So U of A is my pick here. So we're going with U of A over UCF +6. That will wrap up our episode. That will wrap up Bradley's inaugural episode. I don't know if I used that right.
How did
Who
you
knows?
Like it? Would you it come was, back?
No, I would definitely. Hopefully, I'm back next week. Whether Penn State wins or loses, I hope to be.
Yeah,
back
I'm excited.
Welcome to the Gridiron family.
I'll either be the happiest person on the planet or I'll be incredibly disappointed. I mean, I won't be disappointed as much because Penn State will still make the college football playoff, but I'll still be disappointed if they lose because you got to look at James Franklin. Like, he's 1-13 against top 5 teams.
Not
so
good, yeah. 1-13, 1-12, something like that.
1-13. So the fact that now you're going to go 1-14 against another top 5 team is a little concerning for James Franklin.
Well, that'll be all, Brett. That was just Bradley Byrne. We're also with Isabella Terracini. I am Barrett Spritzer. Max Spitzer was on the board back there. This has been College Gridiron. Thank you very much, and see you next week.